Well, this morning we're going to go over, I entitled this, Death is Not a Defeat for the Saint. We're going to deal with death. The Lord dealt with me about it. Now, when I was in Bible school, we had classes dealing with on the areas of death and ministering to people who are dying. You know, if you have not noticed that not everybody that you pray for lives, did you ever notice that? And there are people that are not going to. I don't care what you do, they're not going to. And really, the first occasion that I had in an area where God showed me what to do is, in fact, the person who was dying, I was asked to go because of somebody else, and they had a relative, and they had, the person was dying. And what the person was a Christian, but never really walked with God, and never really did anything of doing anything for really, you know, going to church and stuff, and they weren't a bad person or anything like that, but, you know, they never really did much of anything. And there's one thing that I could tell, you know, because lots of times people want you to go pray for somebody because somebody's dying and they want them healed. And one of the things that I want you, there's some things I want you people to get in this. Is number one, you need to listen on the inside and not just go by some religious training. Well, most people do. They'll go pray for somebody and they pray for someone's healing. You need to learn to listen to your inner man. I've learned this over the years. Because there are many prayers that are said that are absolutely worthless. They're not going to go anywhere because God ain't in the middle of it. And especially you're praying for other people. You need to listen to what God's saying. If you want to help people, number one, I found this out about me. I don't know everything about everybody. I don't even know where people's spiritual condition is. I've been around already people that I thought were good in spiritual condition, and after a while found out they're in terrible spiritual condition. And then there's people you sort of wonder about and find out they're pretty good spiritual condition, actually. And you don't know unless God shows you. You don't know. And with this woman, I went in to, they told me to go visit her in the hospital. I went to visit her, and the Lord spoke to me because I'd asked him about what's going on there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, they're not going to be healed. They're going to die. He said, they're coming home. And, see, now some people think that's terrible. I want you to understand it was one of the best things that ever happened to that person. Person wasn't living for God on the earth. You need to understand this. Christians that don't live for God, they're better off going off to heaven while they still have some kind of walk with God than they do if they just keep going down the road. They can end up eventually separating themselves from God. The devil will take you further than you want to go, I'll guarantee it. See, we know very little about this in the church world because we don't read the Bible a whole lot. We have our religious beliefs. And the Lord said to me, I want you to get her ready for a good home going. That's what he wanted me to do. So in other words, she was going to die. And he said, I want you to get ready. And so that's what I did. Well, what I did is I started talking to her. I didn't talk to her about healing. I didn't talk to her about deliverance. I started talking about her, about heaven. I started talking about things of getting ready to go there. And, you know, when she found, you know, and she realized, and, you know, it wasn't God's perfect will that she died, but she was not in position. She had not walked with God. She wasn't spiritually ready. I did not have the time to get her over in the areas of faith to even get her healed. It would never worked. And this is one thing is I want you to get across this to yourselves and understand this. Most people, and you've heard me talk about this already before, most people are never ready for the things that they're going to meet in life, that they're going to run into. They only wait till something happens and then they're going to get in the Word and then they're going to start in the areas. Well, see, most Christians know very little about death and dying. They almost know nothing about it. And I'm talking about Spirit-filled people. I'm not talking about somebody down in the Methodist church. Talking about Spirit-filled people. They know very little bit. They don't talk a lot. It's like we talk about it. I'm sorry, it's here. And it's one thing, you want to be able to minister to people and you want to know yourself when you face things come along. I don't know if you noticed, but death's out here. And you better know something. Now, you guys have heard me say this many a time. I've said this hundreds and hundreds of times. Dealing with the areas of death and those kind of things. Dealing with the areas of healing. If you have a problem in the areas of fears of death, you're going to have a hard time to ever have divine healing. You'll probably never see it happen. You can't have the fear of death, the fear of dying, and faith to live. They don't mix. They won't mix. And this is why you need to know the Bible. It's like with me, I'm not afraid to die. Because see, if you have fear of death, you will never step out into certain areas of faith or do what God wants you to do, because you'll be afraid if you do, you'll die. Divine healing, Kenneth Hagin, well, Jesus told him and said, divine healing is without any aid from anything natural, a doctor or anything like that. Divine healing. Well, to step out into that, you might step out into the place, I might tell you, it might look like you'd die if you did it. I've been there. I've walked in that already. And you got to come to the place. See, people want divine healing as long as I don't have to do nothing. I don't face anything. You know, I don't want to face nothing. I want the divine healing thing. We'd like to have that. And it's this one thing. See, God wants you to come to the place where you don't fear death. See, it's one thing as I know. I ain't afraid to miss it. Because if I die, I go to heaven. Don't make me leave today. Dear God. See, there's so much that's not a reality to Christians today. There's so much that's not true. We talk about heaven, but there's not a strong belief about heaven. You need to come to that strong belief of that thing, that you're fearless in the earth. That you're fearless here. The reason people aren't fearless is because they have little information that's true, that they really have a confidence in. And you have to, because you're going to face it. Hey, everybody here is dying, whether you like it or not. If Jesus tarries past, you know, the time, you're going to croak one day and they're going to haul you off and stick your body in a grave somewhere. That's it. Get over it. You know, you can do as much hair color and put stuff on your face, get shots and everything else, go all do you want. You're going to croak. You might be good looking dead, but I'll tell you what, you'll be dead. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, praise God, I can't wait till the day I leave, whether it's in a box when they put my body in the ground, but my spirit will be gone by the time they do that, and I'll be with Jesus, or He comes and I get the new suit and we go off together. But anyway or other, I get to be with Jesus. And I get out of here. Too many Christians love here. The only reason I am here is because of a job I have here. If Jesus said tomorrow you don't have a job, let's leave. Because I can't find out anything else I could just so tickled over. But I am tickled over heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we need to come to that place where you're not afraid. And that doesn't happen to you overnight, but it's something that you work out and develop in as a Christian. And if you are really growing spiritually, you have to come to that. You've got to come to that. Because fear will set limits on your life. It'll set limits on your spiritual life of how far you can walk and go. Listen to this. A scripture, we're going to use a foundation from Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 14, 15, I'm going to read to you. Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 14 and 15. In verse 14, it says this, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Understand this. The fear of death is bondage. The fear of death is bondage. All fear, let me say this, all fear has its basis in the fear of death. All fear. You know, a guy that's afraid of heights. Now, we say he's afraid of heights. Well, let's put it where really, he's afraid of death. He's afraid he gets up high, he's going to die. I know, I had that. See, you have somebody that's afraid of something. You know, and let's clarify some things about fear. There are natural things that you'll withdraw from it. And it isn't a bad fear. I mean, if you walked up and almost stepped on a rattlesnake, you might jump back. There's nothing wrong with that. That's protective. You're trying to protect yourself. But there's all kind of illogical fears, and people are filled. Christians are filled with illogical fears. And one thing, those fears will affect your faith. Years ago, I was ministered to a man. Over the years, I had ministered to this person. I was totally amazed how this person could believe God for certain areas to be healed. And it was amazing. I mean, I saw already when the doctors told them they'd die certain things and they could get healed. But they had other areas that they could not get any faith to deal with. And that used to really wonder me, what was it? Why was it this one area they could grab a hold of and they could believe God just as not, it worked? And he used to marvel me at this other area. And then God showed me one time, there was a place of fear that they had, and that place of fear would never let them, they never dealt with it. See, it's one thing is we won't deal with our fears. Fear must be faced. You will never get over a fear of anything you won't face. You make your confessions night and day all you want and say what you believe. But you're going to have to face it. You're going to have to one day walk right in the face of that thing and stand against it and refuse to back away from it. You're going to have to do that. Yeah, we talked about fear. You know, Mike, you know, he always gives a testimony about flying. But you know, one day, he had to face his fear and get on a plane. He could have said all of his life he wanted to and made a confession that he ain't afraid to fly. Well, I'll tell you what, that fear would have never subsided till he got on a plane. He had to get to the place one day. He had to get on that plane. And then the confessions, that's when it really counts. Isn't it, Mike? Is it? I don't care who it is. I've done it. I know what it is to stand against a fear of something. And then you're going to find out when you step up against it. And man, that thing is trying to come on you. And then we're going to see what confession we're going to find out. You're going to have to do it. And see, people don't want to do this. Things that people don't want to face. You know, when I started off as a Christian, God had to deal with me on the fear of giving away money. It's like I tell about the factors. You know, God got over to get me to give everything away. I'm going to tell you. You tell me fear didn't want to come? I'm not going to have enough. I'm not going to. Why? Well, you know what? You ain't going to ever. You have to face that one day. You're going to have to come to a place where if there's a fear you have about, you're going to have to deal with it. God's going to lead you to it. Why? He don't want you afraid of nothing. He doesn't want you afraid. And all my Christian walk, God would lead me to the place that I feared. He led me to that place. But the bottom line of it all is dealing with the areas of fear of death. I'm not going to have love. I'm not going to go on that. We're going to go under. And you're living there. And the whole thing of it is Scripture. We need to understand that the Scripture, God gives us the Scriptures. And if they are studied, is number one, we need to know this, the fact with a Christian. The Bible deals with the areas. There's things that talks about death that deals with the death of the body. And the other ones talk about spiritual death. And we need to understand the difference of who's talking what and saying what. Whether we're dealing with the fear of death. But the fear of the body, of losing the body, is number one, the body is dead in sin and the body will always recoil to physical death. It will always. But you can't let the body dominate you when it comes to that death. The body will always try to dominate you. It'll always try to. And this is where faith in the Word of God, you need to get the Word in your spirit and in your mind, where you can withstand against your body's fears. Most people, the body rules when it comes to that because they haven't got enough inside of them that they withstand and say, hey, hold it, you're not ruling here. I refuse to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I can do what I need to do. You know, there's nothing worse than the fear. You know, I was in the military, like in Vietnam and stuff. You don't want people around people that are fearful. They're the most dangerous. And in life, Christians are the most dangerous, the fearful Christian. They're the most dangerous. They're more dangerous than some people in the world. And see, we need to understand it because, see, the guy that's fear dominates, he's not going to make good decisions under trouble. And the people that want to make good decisions, you don't want them around because they can get you killed. The people who make dead decisions because they're just moved by their emotion. You can't be moved now. You gotta do it. That's why in the military is when they train you, they take you out and they train you over and over again. And the military does this. And you understand, the military is just like God from this standpoint. They put you in bad situations in training to train you to handle bad situations. That's why your idea of walking in faith may not work well. Because you might think that faith means you get out of trouble. No, faith will put you square right in the middle of it to prove out the Word of God. Because that's what you need to know. You need to know how to prove out the Word of God. When trouble comes, and see, most people, it's like when Kenneth Hagin, I mean, I was just excited when I first time I heard him say this. You know, great faith is going through great, to have great faith, you got to go through great, great trials. He said, if you ain't been through no great trials, you don't have any great faith. And I wanted great faith, and I thought, oh my God. Well, see, in the military, they would put us in like combat situations. They would even put you in situations that were a bit dangerous to train you. See, we're an American society. We're the powder puffs. We're the powder puff people in the world. And Christians are the same way. I'm not knocking the world. Christians are exactly the same way. Powder puffs. You know, everything got to be really cozy and nice and everything and fluffy. And it's not life. Aren't we living in a powder puff world? This is why people are having such a hard time. You know, I don't have the Viet Cong, you know, shooting at me and trying to do things to me here. I haven't seen nothing quite that bad yet. But you'd sure think it by most people. It's gotten there. Listen to the news. It's there. You know, that we're, but this is the thinking of people. It's because people have been so cozy, and we have a government that keeps trying to make us cozy when it shouldn't. Nothing's going to change as long as people feel cozy. God, I just want to tell you this. This is what the Lord, I was going to say this, but the Lord said to me this yesterday. He said, I'm fed up. I'm going to put the hammer down. Now, I don't think he's just talking about the world. He's fed up with some stuff. Because people want to be fluffy. They don't want to stand. We need to come to the place we stand. There's trouble and we need to stand. We need people that got some backbone. I mean, you know, we got all kind of jobs out here and people don't take up. Why would you take a job when you can be taken care of without one? What's the point? Let's give them more money. Let's give them more stuff. And there's jobs. I talked to businessmen. They can't get people to come to work. Why? Why go to work? I don't have to go to work. I can sit at home. I don't have to have any pressure in life. Somebody will take care of me. The socialistic church. We're God. We don't need God anymore because we are. My job is to take care of you. No, it's not. You need to trust God. If I find out anything about myself now, is God's been dealing with me, you know? I need to trust Him more. I need more confidence in Him and yield less to the arm of flesh. Is trust Him. So we want to come to there. We want to be at that place. You know, Paul talked about being a good soldier. He didn't talk about, you know, being a good pilgrim. He said, you got to be a good soldier. Why? Soldiers face danger. There's things you got to learn, and you need to learn to walk that in life. And if you do learn to walk it by faith, there is nothing more wonderful than to become fearless, is not afraid of what you're going to face. There's no much more wonderful. To me, it's no more wonderful to run into a saint that's leaving this earth with a smile on their face. It's like, oh my God, they're believing. Hallelujah. They're going off to better and say, hey, I think I'll go with you. Hallelujah. It's coming to that you're not afraid. You're not afraid that God's not going to take care of you. You're not afraid you're not going to have what's going to happen if this happens in our nation? What happens if that happens? I found this out. Ain't nothing going to change. God's the same. I have the same God to trust after the election, before the election. I have the same God. It changes not. Hallelujah. He will fulfill His word in the same manner See, I can't make decisions on the fact, well, out of fear. Is number one, the church of any should be sitting down and asking God about what we need to be preparing for and what we need to do. We're listening to what the news says, and what the news is not the place to go to them heathens to try to find out what's going to happen. Dear God. Why would we look at them and say, well, wow, this could be this way or that way or the other way? What's God saying? What's God speaking? See, this is the things that we need to find out. Why? Because when you have the Word of God, and see, this is the whole thing. The Word of God, believed and acted upon, will lead you to the place to become fearless. You won't be afraid. If God has spoken to you. See, when people don't know what God said, there's what you got a void there. And that void will be filled by something. It'll be filled by your feelings and your thoughts or whatever it might be. But we need to know what heaven's saying. Hallelujah. And this is what God wants to bring us to, where we're not afraid. There's fear. Now this message I'm preaching, you need to understand. Don't go minister this, try to minister to this to the sinner or the dying sinner. Because I'm going to tell you what. The dying sinner has the sin nature and he has the nature of fear. Ministering this don't do a bit of good. If you don't get him born again, he has no hope. There is no hope. His only hope is to get born again. I get the biggest kick out because you go to a funeral where the sinner died and they're preaching the same thing they did when the saint died. And that's how all the people come up with misconceptions like everybody's going to heaven or something. You know, it's like myself, I tell people, I've had, you know, as things came along and stuff with doing a sermon for a sinner, I tell people, we do not talk about them going to heaven. They ain't going to, you don't get me to preach it. I will not be a liar for no man. I won't sit and say things. Now, I will preach. The people are there. I will show them their need and if they want to get to heaven, what they need to do. But I will not lie in front of people to keep some people having, keep a family happy. Well, you know, you got to encourage the family. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I ain't going to lie to encourage nobody's family. Lies don't do nothing. I have sat in funerals where I knew the person was in hell and they talk like, and the family's sitting there, and the family this day, they're going to hell too because the preachers put them there, making them feel they're all right too. They're going to go there because their heathen person in their family that died, they told that they were all right. Why would you have to change? If he made to heaven the way he acted, my words, we got it made in the shade. See, we have a covenant with God that you and I stand on. You and I have a covenant with God. We have the Word of God to stand on concerning life and death. And we have a covenant, but that's for the church. It is not for the ones who aren't in the covenant. They must come to the covenant. They must get born again. Or I will tell you what, the fear of death is going to dominate them. You can lie to them and try to ooze their flesh, but I'll tell you what, their inner man knows the difference. And we want to talk about these things because we want as Christians, what about us as Christians? Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 15 and 16, he said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God." In other words, God's our Father, and God gave us the Holy Spirit in us to remind us who and what we are. He is in us for that purpose. You don't have, see, fear is bondage. Always do that. Fear is never good. Fear is not good. The fear of death is not good at any time. This is an area that I find lots of times it's hard to talk about, like to Christians. Like, I've run into the years Christians and they're afraid sort of things, you know, like somebody, I have Christians. I want to tell you, I go to ministers' meetings and that stuff, and you wouldn't believe how many Christians, when it goes to ride the elevator, are scared of elevators. You wouldn't believe it, how many. I don't like elevators. And they're sitting around talking to faith people. I got to bite my lip just to say, why don't you people shut up, get off the elevator, sitting around lying to people that you're a person of faith, can't even ride an elevator without being scared. What's wrong with you? Now this is the preachers. I can understand the people, but the preacher, the guy that's talking, preaches people faith. and saying, I just don't like elevators. Well, there's a lot more scarier things than elevators, and I'll tell you, they're going to have trouble in life. It's like, come on! But see, the whole thing of it is, people sit around, we talk about faith and we use the faith and that stuff, and a lot of it's so frivolous that it's said. It's so frivolous. Because we have these areas in our life that we're fearful and we don't touch them, and I don't like elevators. Like, good God, an elevator? Don't I see that that's a problem? That I don't like an elevator? The sinners all crawl on the elevator and the saints worried. We're trusting the Lord. But you know what? You have to learn to face yourself. See, I learned to face my fears. What was fear? You go along and play these games about faith. But you got to come to the thing that I'm afraid of. What am I going to do? Am I going to admit it? If I don't admit it, I'll never deal with it. As long as I put it, it's okay. You're going to keep anything that you think's all right. It'll never change. You're going to keep it. If you think it's justifiable, it will be to you. See, you want to come to the place. No, I refuse to be afraid. And you got to come to that spot and say, this is bondage. This is not good. It limits my ability to trust God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. In faith, it's impossible. See, when we deal with it, and I know, we talk about these things because we live in a society today that everything gets justified. Well, you just don't understand me. This is just the way I am. God accepts me the way that I am. Give me a scripture on that one. Paul had all them scriptures he wrote about how we were supposed to change and all these things we weren't supposed to do. What was he blab-mouthing to all these different churches trying to correct them on the things they were doing wrong if God accepted them the way they were? The new birth is about change. It ain't about staying the way you are. If you're staying the way you are, you ain't got the new birth I got. The new birth I got changed me. That's the new birth. Unchanged, then you're a heathen. You become changed. And see, this is what we need to see. We've become changed. Therefore, it is not natural for you and I, it's not natural for you and I to be tied to bondage to things. It's not natural. It is unnatural for a born-again person to be dominated by fear. That's unnatural. That's unnatural. It is natural for a sinner to sin. That's natural. It's unnatural for a Christian to sin. Did you know that? It's not in our nature. See, we deal about what nature, we talk about nature. It is not within our nature to sin. We might yield to the flesh and sin, but you know what? The new being inside of you, who you really are, doesn't want to do that. Why? Because it's not in its nature. It's not in my nature and it's not in your nature to sin unless you didn't have a nature change. Does your conscience bother you when you sin? Woo! Glory to God! That means you got to change nature. That means you got a nature. Hallelujah. That's like God. You got a nature that doesn't want to sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's good news. See, so when it's not in my nature, but see, most of you view yourself as your body and what you do, unrenewed mind. You don't view yourself in the light of what you are. And see, this is why fear dominates when it shouldn't. Our inner man wants to walk fiercely, but we're dealing with a soul that gets dominated by fear and a body who sure wants to react to it. There's got to be a change because the nature, your nature, is to be fearless. It's your nature inside of you. You want to do what you want to do the Word of God, the inside, because you have been made in the image of God. It is your desire within you to be like that. You got to understand where the fight's at. as a Christian. Where's the battle? This is what you're always going to find. You're going to deal with what we call shame. And what happens is the flesh, an unrenewed mind, wants to hide everything that's negative about me. I don't want to deal with it. Somebody might think I have a problem. And I just say this to you. Everybody knows you do. So get over it. But what is it? See, I would be ashamed for the find out, hey, look, we're all working through this stuff. We're all doing it. Get over it. You got to come past the place. I must confront me. You know, we always want somebody to confront somebody else about it. Let's confront our government about it. Let's do this. Well, what about us? Will we confront ourselves? You have to do that. You have to confront yourself about things. Things that, you know, you consider hard. I don't want to deal with this. If you ain't come to that place, I don't know, you're in a different universe than I'm living in. But I come to place times I have to deal with stuff. I just kind of, well, I'm going to have to, if I want to change, I'm going to have to do something. If I want to change, I'm going to have to deal with this. And so we come to that. Well, it's number one, you need to, if you don't know your nature, if you don't know who you are, you're going to have a very, there's lots of times what you'll do is you'll keep brushing things off. You'll keep brushing it off and never deal with it because you don't know really who you are. This is why a person must become spirit, must know themselves spiritually. Many Christians will live and die. In fact, the majority will live and die and really not know themselves spiritually. And don't realize all the things in life they could have walked in. Because they let the outer man and an unrenewed mind dominate. And the inner man, he's been suppressed, he's been held back, and he's been wanting to do some stuff. He's been wanting to bring blessing into life, but he's compressed and he's kept out of the way. Because the flesh dominates. Well, what we do, the Bible has answers to these things. As we go along, we can find out what we need to do. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7 and said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." That's what was given to us. You don't have a spirit of fear. God didn't give that. Your own nature is not a nature of fear. Then God gave you the Holy Ghost, which He doesn't have fear in Him. He's not fear. He's not a spirit of fear. What is He? What is He? Tell us this. He's a fear, spirit of? He's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's what He is. That's the Holy Ghost. So in other words, in your spirit, your born-again spirit, in its nature like God, has the Holy Spirit in it. And the Holy Spirit doesn't have any fear. He's not trying to make you afraid. His job is to help you overcome fear. And you will not do it without Him. You won't do it without Him. You need Him. You need Him. Jesus didn't say, hey, bother, give them the Holy Ghost. They really don't need it. They're really pretty great as it is. But just throw Him in there for a little on a sideline thing. No, you need Him. You need the Holy Spirit. And so we want to look at that. We're going to read some things about some familiar scriptures from the Holy Ghost, like the scriptures I read today. I'm sure you've heard them before. You've heard those scriptures. But it's number one, when we read those scriptures, and we need to, you know, you need to look at them and look at those scriptures and start to meditate on them. You know, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of love, power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gave me. So if something else is ruling, it ain't because it's God and it ain't because my nature wants it. There's something going on that shouldn't be going on. Well, then therefore that has to be dealt with. That must be dealt with. And see, there's things that, you know, we really don't like. It's very easy to justify our flaws that keep us from growing up. But see, lots of times people don't see how big a problem may seem small to an individual. That's why you need to get a hold of the Holy Ghost in you and get in contact. Because many times people think that they have a small problem and it's big. And the problem they think big is hardly a thing. It's because they don't see it in the light of the Spirit. They see it in the light of their natural human thinking and stuff like that. And they have the idea. There's one thing is I found this out in my life. I was not a good judge to find out what I really needed to fix. There's the Holy Ghost is a big help. Because He knows you better than you know you. And he can see things in you, the things that really need to be corrected. There are certain things in your life, and I found myself, there are certain things if I would not corrected, there's other things I would have, if I wouldn't have done it, they'd have never got corrected. There's lots of times I found out there's things that I thought were important that really at the time wasn't important at all. That's not what was important. And I had a need to see what that was important that I needed to do. I needed to find out what that was. Do you ever come to the place where you can't figure out why things ain't working? Well, number one, 10 to 1, this is it. You've been asking the wrong questions. You've been seeking in the wrong direction. And you need to stop and ask the Lord, ask the Holy Ghost in you, okay, what is going on? What's really happening here? I'm not seeing what's going on. Why this isn't changing, or what I have to do in this, why this? People walk along with this happening to them. The Holy Ghost just reminded me to say this. Every one of us, at times, we come along and we don't know what's going on. We just have a sense something's wrong. We don't know what it is. What's going on? And we walk around with that in us, and we may go for weeks and months and never really deal with that. Never stop and say, Holy Ghost, what is it? Why do I have this discomfort in my spirit? What is this? We don't. We just walk along and just keep, something don't seem right. Well, find out what it is. Lord, what is there something I need to do? Is there something? Are you trying to prompt me in some way or other? See, this is the Holy Ghost in us. See, we walk and bypass these things is one thing. You need to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit in you, and He's working, and how He's dealing with you. We've all bypassed things at times. Everybody has. There's times we've missed it. I know there's things I've missed over time, and we go through those. But get yourself over will you get these senses. Now, I'm going to read to you scriptures I'm going to read from the King James Version. Because dealing with areas of death and dying and things like that, we want to deal with, look at some things concerning, because the great need of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord spoke to me back in February of 1980 and said to me, if you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. And then He said to me 20 years later, about almost the same time in about February, He said, most of my people have amounted to nothing. See, many Christians will go along, and they'll follow things in the Bible per se, but they're not led by the Holy Spirit. They're not hearing the Spirit in them. As many times as I have heard ministers criticize people who say that God talks to them or shows them something. Ministers criticize people all the time about that. Why? Because they ain't hearing from God either. You know, if you're just only Word and not Spirit, you're a legalist. You'll end up be a Pharisee. It is the Word and the Spirit. That's what brings the balance to the Christian walk. Jesus didn't give us the Holy Spirit. If we'd only needed the Bible, then what's the point of the Holy Ghost? The point of the Holy Ghost, we ain't going to do good with the Bible unless we listen to Him too. Because we ain't going to do good with that. And Lord knows, I've done that already. We all have. Had you ever, walked in things of the Word and you found out, man, I was blowing it. I was missing it. Because the Holy Ghost will teach you and show you. I want to read you scriptures here. And I'm going to read them from King James because we're dealing with this. Because when you deal in the areas of dying, how many times have you heard ministers, like at a funeral, and they pray for God to comfort individuals? They'll ask God to comfort people. Well, God surely does. But we need to understand this. And the Lord really wants me to emphasize this in this area, because it's more than just praying for a person for comfort. We have to understand the job of the Holy Spirit. When you ask God to do something, the Word, it has to be in line with the Word of how He does it. How does He do it? How does God comfort people? How does He do it? I can sit and say, do I pray at a sinner's funeral, it's filled with all sinners, and pray God comfort them? Not me. God, make them miserable till they look for an answer. What on earth are Christians? God comfort them. No, Holy Ghost, reveal the Word to them so they learn what to do, because I don't want them to go to hell with a relative. We pray, There are so many bad prayers prayed by Christians. I mean, it's insane. We don't want anybody to feel any pain of anything, even when they need to be feeling the pain of it. I want people to have to face what death really is. Because nobody's going to change concerning it till they have to. We either do it ourselves by looking to the Scriptures and letting the Scriptures teach us, or you're going to run into it one day without the answer. That's just the way it is. That's life. That's life. I see people do it all the time over the years. People don't pay no attention to healing and healing Scriptures and stuff. And then they run into sick, and they run into serious sick. And I know this, 10 to 1, we're going to bury them. And then they haven't looked into the death thing too. They have ignored these things. They ignore this stuff till they need it. Have you found out that don't work well? You know, a guy shows up in your house with a gun, and if you want to have a gun to shoot back, you don't wait till that day till you run to the store and quick buy a gun and run back home and go take your training on how to use it. And then that's Christianity today. That ought to be a magazine. See, Christianity Today. People who are always behind the eight ball. There is one actual. It's called Christianity Today, and I'll tell you what, it's worldly too. It's a worldly magazine. I want to read you Scriptures. First of all, I'm just going to read you here in John. We're going to the Gospel of John about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's our teacher. He's the one who helps us. And I really like here in John wrote in John the 14th chapter and verse 16. These are Scriptures. And I'm going to read them the King James, because what King James says on them and the way they say it, and it's correct. It can also be said in other ways, and we'll talk about that. It says, in John 14, verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now, He said, Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a Comforter." This is what you want to look at. The New King James says Helper. There's other ones that say Helper. There's some that say Comforter. But what I want you to see is this. Jesus said to the disciples. First of all, the first word, we've talked about this before. I'm not teaching something new. He said, "I'm going to give you another Comforter." In other words, Jesus was the Comforter, or we could say Helper or whatever. He was the one to the disciples while He was in the earth. Now, He said to them, "I'm going to send you another one, another Comforter. I'm going to send you another Comforter, another Helper. I'm going to send you one." That word there, "another," means one of the same kind. It means I'm going to send you one that's like me. He says this one here abides forever. Jesus ain't going to abide with us forever. He left. Jesus left. When people say Jesus lives in me, you know how He lives in you? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus Himself living in you. Now, let's find out, because the word here, Comforter, really, it comes from a Greek word called paraclete. And it has seven meanings to it. It means, comforter, it could mean helper, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. In other words, this is what the Holy Spirit is in you. This is what you need to know, why a person needs to be born again. See, when you try to take this and give this to a sinner, it's of no value. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They're not going to have this happen to them. They don't have the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. He is not in them. He cannot do for them. This is why this is for the saint. We have too much in the church world where the church is trying to take its teachings and haul it to the world. No wonder they can't get it working in the church. They just think it's just frivolous. We take covenant and throw it out there like it's a nothing. We can just give it to anybody we want. They don't give it, they don't get born again. It don't work for them. It's not going to. Why? Because they have the nature of sin, and death, bondage, dominates them. That's why we preach Christ to the world. You don't preach covenant. You don't preach the covenant to sinners. You preach Christ. They need Christ to get in the covenant. Then it belongs to them. Now, these things that I'm telling you, this belongs to you. Right now, you have in you a helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, and a strengthener, and a standby, and it's God. You don't get a better one. There's not a better one to be had. And He is in you. So if you want to run into comfort, you got to look on the inside. He's not in your flesh or your mind. Your flesh is crazy like mine is. You have to slap it down, and we'll talk about that later on. You got to slap it into line at times. You have to renew your mind. But inside you, you can come in contact with God, and God in you is a comforter, a helper, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby. That's what He does. That's what He does. So see, if you're in turmoil, you can't be running into the one that's in you. You need to understand that. If I'm in turmoil, I just know this. I'm not paying attention to what's really in me. I need to come in contact to what's really inside of me. Not what's going on around me. Not what I see, feel, touch, taste. Not the feelings of my flesh. Well, my flesh just don't feel right about it. Well, shut up. It don't feel right about a lot of things. But it's tough, you know. It hates getting corrected. It fights you. You got to wrestle it down. You got to learn to do that. I'll tell you, get a headlock once in a while on that thing. You got to do that to your flesh. Hallelujah. Now, we also find out about this one. So this one was given. In other words, He's in us. And I like the end term when it says forever. How long is that? If it's forever, you know, when you get to heaven, the Holy Ghost is still going to be in you. He said forever. I guess I would think He didn't lie about it. I think Jesus told us the truth. What do you think? I mean, God's life's going to be in us a-working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you're going to need it when you get to heaven. See, this throws out a lot of stuff people are taught and said about heaven. Church don't know much about that place either. We have all the things people say, but hallelujah, it's a lot better and it's a lot more glorious than men preach it. Hallelujah. Well, now in John 14:26, Jesus made this statement. He said, but the Comforter, which is what? The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now this is absolutely wonderful. This Comforter's in you, and what's He gonna? He's gonna teach you some stuff. He'll teach you some things. No, He said, what's He going to teach you? All things. How much do you want to know? See, if I'm lacking in knowledge, it's never God's fault. It's mine. I determine whether I want to learn or not. I determine how far. You know, the Lord spoke to me, you know, time ago. He says, and a number of different things I'd come along and God dealing with, and I'd say, Lord, how far am I supposed to go this? He said, and I've had the Lord say this to me more than one time. It doesn't matter how far I want you to go. It's how far you want to go. How far do you want to go? The Lord talked to me about prosperity and prosperity. He said, well, I said, Lord, how far should I go with this? He said, it ain't got nothing to do with me. This has to do with you. How far do you want to go? Oh. See, number one, we ought to get this God is in control junk out of our lives. We have had that preached to us religiously, and we have bought too much of it. And it has limited God's ability to work in us. Well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're going to go with that one. The person that always says that is usually messed up in their life somewhere, and it ain't ever getting changed. If God really wants me, I would say, yeah, if God really, I'm just kind of thinking one time a minister, a guy came to him and said, well, he believed God was in control, and he said, if God's in control, you tithe. He said, the guy shut his mouth, never said another word. Listen to this scripture in the Amplified. I like it. I love it in the Amplified. Listen, the Amplified says this. But the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will help you remember everything I've told you. Hallelujah. You would amaze how your memory would improve if you would bypass your brain every once in a while. I want you to say this. See, most people say, I have a bad memory. I have the mind of Christ. You got a bad memory. Well, that's okay. You have your bad memory and I'll have the mind of Christ. Okay? Which do you want? You choose. And your mouth's been picking. No, in the inside of you, in the inside of you. Look, your spirit is like God. It never sleeps nor slumbers. Your spirit don't get tired and yawn when your body's worn out. Your spirit doesn't change. It's listening. It's hearing. It's there. Now you determine by your mind what you're going to let get in it. But your spirit many times has answers to you for things if you listen on the inside. That's why turning the inside. See, my big endeavor was to listen on the inside. That's why I say, I learned this and I learned it from other people. I learned about that. If anything, problems or stuff, if I'm in a situation and, man, something bad situation, I always keep my mouth shut and listen on the inside to hear what's going on in there. And I have failed that, I've never failed to get an answer. Never failed. That an answer will come out of the inside. See, but you gotta learn in the situations when stuff's going on, when stuff's happening. This is one of the things is one of the problems. Now I understand this. If we can get away and spend time with God and pray and listen to God, but you need to understand a soldier, and this is what the Lord taught me. The Lord said, I'm gonna use your military training to teach you. And what he did is to teach me to listen on the inside. You know what he had me do? Going out and running. Making your body do something it didn't want to do. And you're running. Now, when you're running, your body's a huff and puff. It gets a little noisy. But he wanted to teach me how to hear on the inside and how to listen on the inside, overcome the noise on the outside. If you have to always get to a quiet place or you can't hear, you're going to have a problem because you're going to end up in a battle one day. One day, the devil's going to knock on your flesh and bring something to you and a disease that you didn't want. And it's going to get real noisy. And you ain't going to be able to hear. All you're going to hear is the noise of the disease and the noise of other people saying and giving their opinions. You need to hear on the inside. You need to be able, you know, they taught us in the military. They trained us. So we had to learn, we would learn to follow the things no matter what was going on around us, no matter how much explosion shooting and carrying on is going on, no matter how much noise, you follow what you were trained to do. You learn to not get off that. So the Lord had me and he said, he took me out to run. He said, you go out and run. Now you go out and run and, you know, you're out there running and you're sweating and you're huffing and puffing and your body's saying, I'd sure like to walk some. And you're huffing and puffing, Rama. And the Lord's told me this. He said, I want you to meditate on scriptures while you run. So what I had to learn to do was get myself over paying attention to the scriptures and not my body. And so I would go along and I would mutter scriptures to myself. I didn't do it real good right away, but you did. You know what? I found myself after times of months and months out doing this, I found myself running. I'd go out and run, meditating on scripture. I'd run 3 or 4 miles and wouldn't even remember it. I wouldn't remember where I ran, but I could tell that scripture would be so alive in me when I was done. Dear God. And I would be listening on the inside. See, we have this thing. There's many times you can do things. And we have to know around us. We can be in contact with what's going on in us. You don't want to ever lose that contact. When I heard Dr. Cho say it when I was just a young Christian, and he said, I don't care where I'm at in the world. He said, I don't care if I'm sitting in a meeting with world leaders. He said, my heart's always turned toward God, what he wants to do. And I thought, man, I want to be like that. I don't get caught, so caught in what's going on around me that I quit listening on the inside. So you don't want to go there. You want to always be, because, you know, people say, God, don't talk to me. I don't believe that at all. I believe we don't hear the answers, or we don't hear what God's saying. We're not listening. Because something has to thunder over the noise. We don't know how to turn it off. We have never trained ourselves well enough to turn our mind off. Most people would have to pray for hours before they'd ever get their mind to get quiet. My word, just thinking about the coffee pot might be on. It'll drive you crazy for hours. Did I leave the coffee pot on? I better go check that out there. Maybe somebody called and I missed it. I don't know. You got to get past all that stuff. You got to go past. See, number one is I learned to train myself. There's one of the things, ways to train yourself is leaving your stuff. Put it where you can't get it. Go someplace you can't be near it. You're not going to train yourself well until you learn to deal with you and know your weaknesses. You got to learn that. Sometimes I want to meditate on certain things. I'm even going to go drive in the car somewhere. I'll leave my phone at home. Because I ain't answering. I don't want that thing bothering me. Well, what if somebody wants to get a hold of you? Dear Lord, if they can't get a hold of me, too bad. They'll get a hold of you. Leave a message. See, these people, well, you know, what if something serious happens? Well, that's what you're believing. You're worried, full of fear. Something bad's going to happen. Your faith ain't working anyhow. Might as well leave it at home. Ain't going to be no more dangerous for you than what you already are. Hey, folks, it's the truth. You got to deal with these things. My words, I grew up without cell phones. We had one phone in the house, and you weren't hardly able to use that one because if you went on and used it, it cost you a fortune for what people made to use the sucker. And we all lived and did good. And we didn't have one-tenth of the nuttiness of today. You know why? We didn't hear all the stuff we hear today. We are better off not hearing most of what we hear. It leads us to fear. That's what it does. It leads us to fear. Hallelujah. I don't need to go there, and neither do you. Let me read John 15:26. This again, I'm reading from the King James, but it's about the Comforter. Again, John said this about the Holy Ghost. He says, But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit, this one that's in us, this one who is a helper, who is a comforter, he's an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strength, and a standby. What's he going to do? He's going to testify of Jesus. In other words, he's going to speak of Jesus. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit doesn't put himself to the forefront of anything. I had back in 1989, the spring of 1989, I had a supernatural encounter. I've talked about this already, but one of the things I learned through this thing was the Holy Spirit. And probably about anywhere between 20 minutes, I never looked at time a thing. I didn't think to do what Brother Hagin would do. He would look and see what the time was on it, about how long it took. Somewhere from 20 minutes to a half an hour, the Holy Spirit talked to me just like if somebody was standing in front of me talking to me and we were holding a conversation. I mean, to me, it would sound like the whole thing was audible. From that, said the people around would have heard it. There was nobody else there. And, but he would tell you, said things to me. I'd ask a question. He'd respond right back and talk to me. And it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Jesus. I was talking to the Holy Spirit. And I was asking him questions about things, and he was giving me answers to stuff. And I went through that thing. There's one thing as I found out about him is number one, his total interest is in Jesus and what Jesus has to offer and what Jesus does. He's not pushing any of his own or whatever he's doing. He's not doing that. He don't do that. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I could say Jesus said, and I wouldn't be lying about it, because it'd be just as if Jesus said it. And now, during that time, that's when it happened. With a few minutes after we got done with that, is when the Holy Spirit, then Jesus started coming in the car. And when Jesus came in the car, my flesh wanted to scream and run. Because I tell you what, you ain't ever experienced holiness ain't a word. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is holy. Wow. I'm going to tell you what, he started coming in that car and all I could think is, my body's going to die if he keeps this up. I seriously thought I was going to die. I thought my body can't stand this thing. His glory's coming in the car and it just, there's a holiness that it's so pure. And I tell you, my flesh felt downright dirty. I'm going to tell you, your flesh is unclean. Let me tell you, I don't care whether you got saved, your flesh. Well, I'm over here thinking about this thing, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke up just as clear to me and said, you stop it. He wants to talk to you. Now, and he came and he talked to me, but the biggest thing that I learned through that is the work of the Holy Spirit is how he works. He magnifies Jesus. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. You can't know Jesus by words on a page. You will never, people talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. The only way you'll have a personal relationship with Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. You can't have a personal relationship with Jesus just reading the pages in a book. The Holy Spirit's the one that brings life. He brings Jesus. He makes Jesus real. He takes those words on the page and he makes them real to you. They ain't real unless he's revealing. This is why you and I need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, this one who is the advocate, he's the helper. This is one that's your standby. He's your strengthener. He has this job to do for you, and you can't do it without him. You can't have a Christian relationship with God without him. He's the one that brings life in. He's the one who's put in you to give you the strength, the things that you need, and what is required so you can walk in the glory God's called you to. That's what he's there for that. That's his job. And see, after that experience, I realized how up till that time, I had learned a lot about the Holy Spirit and listening to me on the inside. But boy, after that day, my God, I realized, my God, that my need of the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need to pay more attention to him. If I want to know Jesus and his will and what he wants to do, I got to know the Holy Spirit because he's the revealer of it. He's the one it is. Because this just becomes words on a page that I can just throw out there and say, but I'm going to tell you, he's the life breather of it. Hallelujah. He takes it and makes it real to you. Hallelujah. He brings you that place where you have the witness in you, I'm a child of God. And when death or a problem knocks on the door, the first thing you don't think what's going to happen to you, the first thing that comes to your mind is, I'm a child of God. That's what comes to your mind. Now, if you've done it religiously with the word, this is what you'll do. My God, what's going to happen to me? Everybody get praying. I don't know what's going to go. You know, call the prayer team. Do this, do that. You don't stop and say, praise God, I'm a child of God. Devil, I'm putting you on notice, sucker. You ain't in on this thing. When I had a heart attack and fell down on the ground, the first thing I said to the devil said, this voice came to me and said, you're going to die. I said, devil, you have nothing to do with this. This is between me and my Father. Why? Because the one in me was real. The one inside me was real. He was more real than what was going on in my body. See, I didn't wait till that day to start studying on healing. I had done it and done it and done it and done it and had been practicing it, practicing it, practicing it. When the bomb was dropped, I didn't run and hide. If I would have waited for the prayer team, they would have put me in a box. See, you got to learn to stand. The Holy Ghost, he's the one that makes it work. It was inside of me. I want to tell you what. There was an anger that rose up inside of me that day, and I got up off the ground, and I sure didn't feel like getting up off the ground if I'd have went by feelings. But I tell you what, inside of me, there was a strength rose up. When I spoke to the devil, there's a strength. What did it say he was? He's a strengthener. When I acted in line with the words, you know what he did? He gave me strength. He was my standby. Hallelujah. He was standing by me, glory to God. Hallelujah. He was inside of me working. He was doing His job. He was doing for me. He was comforting me. When I did that, I had no fear that I was going to die. Yet every symptom in my body said so. They talk about the symptoms you have and you have a heart attack. They say, well, you might have this symptom, this isn't. I had every symptom that they say that you'd have. I got them all. So we didn't have to think a long time what was going on, you know. We didn't have to sit there. I didn't need a vote from a doctor. Figure out what was happening. But I'll never forget this. I was on my way up to our mailbox and that stuff to get my mail when this happened. And so I had to get from there back to the house. So I had a little bit of a walk there to go back to my house. And I got up off the ground. And I tell you, I bet I didn't walk 20 steps. And I said this. See, you get over in your spirit and get on the inside man. The outer man's saying, oh my God, let's go lay down somewhere. I feel terrible. Your outer man's saying all this stuff and your mind's going, D-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d-d. But inside of me, I said, I'm going back and I'm putting my stuff on and I'm going for a run. That's what I said. I'm going for a run. Now, if you'd ask me how I felt like going for a run, no, give me a hospital bed. You know, give me a shot. You know, I'm sweating like crazy. They talk about the pain you have in your shoulders. And my God, pain, I couldn't breathe right. I mean, I'm having a terrible time. I'm nauseated. But you know what? Inside of me, there was no weakness. There was no weakness on the inside. The inside was strength. Life is on the inside. It ain't in your flesh. It's in your inner man. And your inner man can't get released unless you get your mouth in line with it. That life can't come out. I'll do that, Lord. I want to talk. We're going to stop there with that. I want you to listen to something that you need to know. And you need to get onto this thing. I don't care what you got in you. You got to get it out through your mouth, what's on the inside of your spirit. That's where faith is. Faith's out of your spirit. You'll find this out. I've read counts after accounts. In fact, I've listened to Kenneth Hagin over and over in his. He had died. In fact, Kenneth Hagin died four times in his life. He died. He died three times as a young boy, right? And the third time he got born again, coming back up out of hell. And then later on, after he was born again, he died again, except this time he didn't go down. He went up. But the Lord sent him back, told him he couldn't stay. He had to go back. Now, I want you to understand that he says, and I've heard other people talk about this in death too. He said when his spirit came back down in the room where his body was, each time his spirit went in through his mouth into his body. Well, that's scripturally accurate. See, because your spirit is tied to your mouth, folks. You can't control your mouth. See, your mouth and your spirit, if you can get the two of those things hooked up together, my God, you'll change the world. The church hasn't changed the world because the church's mouth is not hooked with their spirit. It's hooked with all kind of things in the natural talking. Things we like, but what's really inside of us, what's really inside of us, man, many times we have within us, we have people sometimes, what if I just had the faith? They got the faith. It's the oppression of the flesh keeps them from saying what is inside of them that they want to say and they don't say it. They keep saying what their flesh says because the flesh keeps oppressing. Well, you know, what if this don't work? What are somebody else going to think? What if I go do this and that don't work? And so what do? We yield. And the inner man's saying, say it and do it. Say it and do it. The inner man's talking. Spirit is released through the mouth. Spirit is released through the mouth. Spirit is released through the mouth. And that's the power, folks. That's the power of God. I've looked at it with other people talking about in hospital rooms and that stuff. Died and turned around, came back and came in through the mouth. Your spirit comes in through your mouth. That's how you release it. That's how you get it back. It's tied to your mouth. That's why Jesus said in Mark 11:23, what you say, spirit is released through the mouth. It is through the mouth, folks. And we need to learn that. We need to get a hold of that fact on the inside. On the inside, you come time. This is one of the things that God wants to emphasize today is on the inside. What is inside of you? We're going to talk about that more. Once, if you realize what you are, you won't be afraid. Most Christians don't believe what the Bible says they are. You know, I'm a new creation. Well, I just have problems with this. I've never gotten over this, and this has happened to me, and that's happened to me. And they're going to stay there. They're going to stay there. Why? That's their mouth are running. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to have what you want. He said you want to have what you say. Now, if you learn to control your mouth, you can get what you want. Looking on the inside. Do you realize, do you really know where you stand faith-wise? You need to find that out. I think some of you would be actually like shocked to find out that you've had more faith than you realize. You've never let it go. You have yielded too many times to the outer man because you've thought about it and let your mind talk you out of what can be produced on the inside if it's turned loose. Lots of times people don't need more faith. They need to release faith. They need to release. Kenneth Hagin used to prove that all the time with people and ministry to people and stuff. He used to minister to people and that stuff sometimes in line. And people would come up and say, I don't have faith for healing. He'd say, what do you mean you don't? Aren't you a Christian? The Bible says you have the spirit of faith. You don't have faith? He said, the Bible says you do. He said, I'd find this out. He said, I would say to a person, he said, I'd do this time and time again. I'd tell a person, when you go home, he said, I'm not going to lay hands on you right now, but what I want you to do, I'm holding ministry here. He said, don't come back up here in the healing line, he said, for a few days. Don't come back. What I want you to do is go home. And you just say this, the next time hands are laid on me, I'm going to be healed. The next time hands are going to lay it on me, I'm going to be healed. He said, you just, every time you think of it during the day, you say it. He said, you say it many, many times a day. You think of it. He said, get up in the morning. As soon as you get up in the morning, confess that. You go to bed at night, you lay your head down, you confess that. He said, it almost never failed when I laid hands on them when they finally came up, they said, get healed just like that. You just get them in line with what's in them. But people never get it. You don't have to wait for Kenneth Hagin to do that. You should be doing those things yourself. You see, people don't do that. People don't do that. They walk around, they don't tell you nothing, doing none of this stuff, and then they want healed, they come up the line, and they're waiting for some man to heal them. And he ain't gonna. You see, getting people what they got on the inside of them. You got life in, you got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He said, it quickened your mortal body. What do we run around chasing around healing for? You got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It says, making alive my mortal body. Well, I'll tell you what, but I'm sick. He ain't quickening my body. No, he's in there sleeping. He's sleeping. He don't do, yeah, you know. He helped Cousin Harry, but he don't do that for me. Say, no, he's in there strengthening me. I just feel so weak. Well, the Holy Ghost went to sleep again. There he is. He's napping. He ain't doing what he was supposed to do. Pray for me for strength. Why? The Holy Ghost leave? What happened? See, people are saying the wrong stuff. They aren't releasing what's in them. They aren't saying the words of what's going on. It's really happening on the inside. We need to speak what's really happening on the inside. Then what we speak, we will get manifestations of that. But you will not get manifestations saying what we're saying, believing what we're believing. And most times it's from the flesh. We need to get in line with what's in us. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about having a Holy Ghost in us, and people talk about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they're praying for more power. What on earth would you mean? They don't even realize the insanity of what they're saying. What they're just got done saying, that Holy Ghost that in me that I got, he don't do it. He ain't doing nothing. I need a better one, you know. Does he have a second cousin or something we can send? And maybe I can get him. He has a little bit more or something. I don't know. Is there a Holy Ghost number two? But see, if we get in line of what we really are, the church is so much greater than it lives to be. We shortchange ourselves all the time of the glory that's in us. The Spirit's in you saying, God, you're dead. He's bearing witness in you that God is your dad. We're so tied to physical relationships, we sort of ignore the relationship we have with God, and it doesn't go into fruition. Any relationship that you want to have, you're going to have to attend to it to keep that relationship, to make it something. Is God is my dad. God is my dad. God is my dad. The real me? I have a father who's the father of my flesh. He died and he's in heaven now. But the father of my spirit's God. It's not my physical father. It's God. The real Ed Gibson. The one who is eternal. His dad is God. We pay all the attention to the physical. We're spending all of our time on the physical. You know, make sure, you know, we do all these things and Mother's Days and Father's Days and do all these kind of things and that kind of stuff. But the father of who we really are, we don't even much less send him a card. You know, we don't even pay any attention to him. It's because of the way we think. It's the way we think. It's getting over. The God, he's God. He is my father. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be there with my dad. My earthly father, he's going to be there but from my body. But the God of who I really am is God the Father. That's who it is. The Holy Ghost ain't telling me Clyde Gibson's my daddy. He ain't bearing witness to that. And my dad ain't nervous about it either. We so do things to honor people, but we don't honor what we are and who we are, our relationship we got, and we're not honoring it. And we don't realize in doing what we do, we don't get the things or get to walk into things we would really love to have and to see come to pass. God needs a few Father's Days. But see, we don't view that. Somebody asks us who our father is, right away our thought goes to natural. Everything's run to the natural. And yet the father of your spirit's God, the real you, the part that you. Your body's going to go, your God body one day, if you die on this earth, it's going to go in the ground, it's going to rot. No matter all we do to think it's cute and whatever it is, it's going to go in the ground, it's going to rot. And the scripture tells us about the inner man, the glory of this inner guy. This glory, it says he's renewed day by day. From the day I got born again, my spirit has not aged. And in all eternity, it will not age one bit. It'll never age. Never. It never can age. It's eternal. It's like what I came from, my dad. Because my dad is eternal. It's not like my physical father. He croaked. We buried him, and he got to go to heaven. The real him went to heaven, and he got the same dad I do. We got the same dads. And you get to think about that. The Holy Spirit's in you. What would the Holy Spirit be in you, keep witnessing to you that your dad is God the Father? The church hasn't thought that's very important. Yet he was put in there for that purpose. Jesus said so. I figure we would listen to Jesus sometime. We say, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Jesus said the Holy Ghost parked in you. He moved in there to keep reminding you that your dad's God. I believe our faith would have changed a whole lot. I believe my faith would have been a lot bigger if I would have paid more attention to that. My daddy's God. Don't mess with Ed. My daddy's God. See, the devil's come and tromped on the church, and the church is whining, trying to get God to do something. Daddy's been wanting to do all kind of stuff. But the church is a bunch of whiners treating God like he's not really their dad. They're not even sure if he really likes them a lot. See, God loves me, but you know, he'll let me sick and die. He don't want to heal me. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. What a good daddy he is. Well, who would ever think anybody's a good daddy? If my dad would have done that, my mama would have knocked him out. Mama would have knocked him out and strung him up somewhere. But the crazy church talks like God's their problem. When I was 11 years old, I asked my parents. They said, you guys sit around and talk about God and you're going to heaven. He's so good. I said, every bad thing that happens, you guys said he did it. That's their dad. That's what they were told her dad was. Well, God's still trying to get that stuff out of us. We got a schizophrenic father. You know, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not. Sometimes, you never know. You just never know what God's going to do. Well, then you ain't read the Bible and the Holy Ghost has never talked to you, because the whole purpose of walking in faith is knowing what God's going to do. You cannot walk in faith with anything you don't know what God's going to do. It's an impossibility. You cannot walk in faith in anything that you don't know God's going to do. Faith is based on knowledge. Now, thank God, when I started off as a Christian, he did a lot of things for me, and it wasn't because of my knowledge. I had little, but he would do things. But today, he expects me to gain knowledge on things and then walk by faith. And I found this out about him. He's always good. Glory. You got a good dad. You know that? He is a good dad. Hallelujah. Oh, we deserve thumpings and he still likes us. I'll tell you, he'll still bless you. Because he's good. And we need to get that into us. The Holy Spirit's in me. See, I've learned to get that inside of me is a fact, because you know what you're going to do in life? Sometimes you're just going to mess up. But you know what the Holy Ghost is going to say to you? Well, he ain't your dad now. Good luck. You're on your own. You know what? He's still going to bear witness to you that God is your Father. And he's going to bear witness to you, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. That's what you're going to hear. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't going, well, you done messed up now. We can't fix that one, you dummy. I told you so. James wrote a really good one. James wrote, if we lack wisdom, we ask God who gives it liberally without reproach. I don't like the way that they translated that, without reproach, because they really don't say that. The idea of the word, the Greek word that's used there, they've made without reproach. It means this: if you've messed up and you've done wrong, he'll fix it anyhow. That's the idea of it. In other words, you lacked wisdom and you messed it up. He's not going to hold wisdom away from you because you messed it up. Pretty good dad. He's a pretty good dad. He's not going to hold it against you. My. Man, has he had opportunity to hold things against me? Has he had opportunity? Sometimes I did myself a great disservice. I held it against me and held my faith back, because I held it. I wouldn't forgive me. He sure did, but I didn't forgive me. Why? Because he'll give me wisdom without reproach. He'll, I know you're a knucklehead, but we're going to straighten this out anyhow. Come on. You act crazy, but hey, you're my boy. Come on. Hallelujah. That's your daddy. And the Holy Ghost is in you to remind you of that. Now, he's not going to remind the world of that. The Bible tells us what he does to the world. He convicts them of sin. That's what he does to the world. But you ain't the world. You ain't the world. He isn't running around and convicting you of sin. He don't have to. Your own conscience bothers you. Your own spirit says, I ain't going along with that. You got out of line. Get straight, boy. Your own spirit's telling you, no, we don't live by the flesh. You're not going to do that. Your own spirit's doing that. The Holy Ghost don't need to do that to you. Hallelujah. Because you got a righteous spirit in you. You've been created in the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. And that righteous spirit inside of you will talk to you. Hallelujah. Your own spirit will talk to you and say, no, that's wrong. And your flesh will say, boy, I wanted to get away with that. I sure did. Thought nobody saw. Well, I'm sorry, your own spirit was wrong with you. It's hard to get away from your own spirit without quitting breathing. That's the only way you're going to get it. You quit breathing, your spirit will leave and your body will quit and lay on the ground. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Knowing who you are on the inside, who we are in Christ Jesus. The need for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You need the Holy Spirit. You need His wisdom. You need to listen on the inside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to say this after me. I am a spirit being. I have a soul. I have mind, will, and emotions. And I have a physical body. But I'm a spirit being. I'm like my Father God. My spirit has been born again. It is born in the nature of God. I, on the inside, my spirit is as righteous as God is. It's as holy as God is. It has the love of God. That's in my spirit. That's me, the real man. The real man loves. The real man doesn't hold unforgiveness. The real man walks in love. The real man does right. So I do right. Because I walk in the real man. My body gets me in trouble sometimes. But I let the real man dominate my body. I let the real man speak through my mouth and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to bring my flesh in line inside of me. In my spirit is the Holy Spirit. He's helping me. He's comforting me. He's counseling me. He's strengthening me. He's interceding for me. He's my standby. I can always count on Him. He'll always lead me in the direction Jesus wants to go. He'll give me Jesus' mind so I'll know what to do. I'm full of wisdom because I have the mind of Christ. And I'm going to allow the mind that's in me to get in my human mind. So I think right. So I understand right. So I do right. In Jesus' name, it's so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. In you. That's what's inside of you. In you. Hallelujah. The man on the inside. The man inside's full of strength. He's full of ability. He's full of wisdom. It's on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't cause you to be born again dumb. He didn't cause you born again with any lack. God has supplied to us all that we need. That's why the scripture says every good and perfect gift, it comes down from above. It says without any shadow of turning. There's no shadow. There's not a chance that God would give you something that isn't good. There's not a shadow of it. He's given it to you. He's given you the mind of Christ. Just think, the mind of Christ, the Holy Ghost living in you. God's mind is living inside of us. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh, we haven't tapped near what we could tap to. But it doesn't matter. The whole thing of it is getting it to the place where you come, that becomes so real to you, that it's inside of you, that inside of you is wisdom, inside of whatever you need to know. The power of God, the Holy Ghost's in there. The Holy Ghost is to give you strength. You need comfort. He's right there. See, we stop and say, Holy Ghost, I want to help. You're going to give me comfort. And we're going to find out as we go on this teaching, the way He gives you comfort is by being the teacher. He's going to show you what the Word says. See, many people, that's why I said in the beginning about praying, people pray for comfort. Well, the Holy Ghost can't give you comfort without being able to give you the Word. And if you won't let Him give you the Word, He can't bring comfort to you. He'll tell you what the Scripture says to bring you comfort. See, that's why we're using so much Scripture. I'm using Scriptures because that's where the comfort comes from. Your hope comes from the Scriptures. And the Holy Ghost will reveal them to you. So you're not walking around there. You're not dragging around. You're not afraid of things. You're not worried about what's going to happen with this or that or the other. You'll be so calm. My God's going to take care of me. You know, how could the Apostle Paul go through what he did? It wasn't because Apostle Paul was a great man. You know what made Paul what he was? He listened to the guy that was on the inside that was great. He followed him, and the Holy Ghost gave him the strength to go through the things he went through. He went through, he didn't go through it with complaint. You know, we went through much times, and I went through things with complaint. The reason I complained, because I went through it with just Ed. That's what I went through it with. I didn't go through it with God. I didn't go through it. And but the things I allowed the Holy Ghost to take with me, I had a testimony at the end of it. The other ones, I just had a complaint at the other side. That's what I had, because it was me. But we need to yield to the Holy Ghost and let Him work in us and do in us what He wants to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to stop really praying to God about so much stuff that is already ours and start to declare it belongs to us. It's us. Hallelujah. People are saying, well, I need the mind of Christ. You got the Holy Ghost. What you need to do is talk to Him. I don't pray to the Holy Ghost, but I talk to Him. He lives in me. Now people say, well, you talk to the Holy Ghost. Well, you, my words, He ain't got no right living me if you don't want to talk to me. You know, move out someplace else. But He'll talk to you. I talk to you. I ask Him questions. I ask Him about, there's things I want to know about with teaching or the things I ask Him about things. I asked Him yesterday some things about our nation, about some stuff that's going on. I asked Him. He sure knows more than I do about it. And Jesus has some things planned. I don't think for some people it's going to work out too good. God has been really patient, very, very patient on many things. He's let people go a long way. And even in the church, He's allowed people to go a long way and hasn't done nothing about it. Why? Because He's merciful. He always gives people. He will give God, the mercy of God, God will always give people an opportunity to turn much longer than they deserve. Much, much longer than they deserve. He always does. It just amazes me. When the Bible says long-suffering, dear God, you and I'd never put up with what He's put up with. We'd never do it for the time period. None of us would. But He is so merciful and kind. The Lord spoke to me about some things of people that He's put up with for 60 years. I'd have put up with about 60 minutes. That'd have been about long enough for me. And He, for 60 years, He's given them opportunity. Has given them opportunity. But He said He's not now. I thought, well, my God, He still, He looked merciful. Oh, my God. Merciful. 60 years? Dear Lord. Just think. 1950, Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, America's having its last call. 1950, it was September. We just passed the 70-year mark. What do you think mankind would have done if it was in our power to deal with what America has done? We'd have ended the call a long time ago. God has stood for 60 years and has shown mercy. I don't know about you. My brain goes a little tilt on that. I mean, 70 years He has stood and allowed these things to go past in our nation. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, there's hope for us. But He's been patient with the church. He's watched the church move out of the way and get messed up. But hallelujah, He's still merciful. Hallelujah. And I've been asking Him to continue in His mercy. Hallelujah. Continue in Your mercy, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank You today. Father, You want to instruct us because You have great things that You desire to do. You have wonderful things that You desire to do. And Lord God, I want to thank You for being so patient with us. Is to move us into line, to moving us into the place that we can walk in the glory of the hour that You desire. Lord, I want to thank You. On this nation and even around the world, You're raising up for Yourself a church, a people. Lord God, whose hearts are turned towards You. You're raising up a people, and I want to thank You. Lord God, just like in the book of Revelation, even in the church, those churches, some of them so messed up, there was always a people, You said in there. There was ones who were still following You. There was ones who were still walking with You. They might be living in the middle of a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, a lot of people in the church that aren't following God, but You always had a people who stayed on track. And I want to thank you. That's not changed till this day. You haven't changed till this day. You have a people. Hallelujah. Out through this nation and around the world, there are people who have not gotten off track. They're still following you. They're still hungering and thirst for righteousness. Lord God, they're still after you. They're still standing in your face and calling out. And I want to thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have given me the opportunity to stand in this crowd. Hallelujah. To stand in this place in this day and hour to be able to look to you and say, Lord, we're going to be like you. We're going to change not. Hallelujah. We're going to keep pushing toward the mark. Hallelujah. We're in a race and we see Jesus at the end of our race and we're not going to change races. Hallelujah. We're going to stay in this one. We're going to lay aside the things, Lord God, that have held people back. We're not going to, Lord, we're getting the weights off of us, getting the things off of us. Hallelujah. Lord God, so we can run. Lord God, we've dragged so much along, but I want to thank you. You've been helping us along the way. You've been showing us what to do to take things off. Lord God, Lord, that we can breathe again. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we can breathe, Lord God, deeply in this day and time of the Spirit, hallelujah, to walk in this glory. Lord God, the demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost will reveal, hallelujah, be revealed in the church in this day and in this hour, hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. I'm so glad, Lord God, that we're going to get to walk in the things, Lord God, that you've shown us in the past. And Lord God, Lord, it's been many years. Lord God, some things have been 40 years that you spoke to me about, that you said concerning the last days. And Lord God, you haven't changed your mind yet. Hallelujah. You haven't changed your mind about doing those things. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that with my eyes, I will see the things that you have spoken come to pass and your glory be revealed. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you said concerning this valley, Lord God, you showed me in this valley, hallelujah, Lord God, that the people of this valley are going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Lord God, you said a people would come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, and they would come here. Lord God, you showed that there was going to be a great revival, a great move of the Spirit, hallelujah. Lord God, that it would be an overflow and a flood of people, hallelujah, into the kingdom of God, hallelujah. Lord, you showed me in vision. You showed me in vision, Lord God, the return of Jesus Christ to this in the skies of this valley. And Lord God, the people were lined in the streets. The streets were filled with people. Hallelujah. Packed with their hands in the air, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. And I thank you. Those things will come to pass as you have shown me, Lord God. They will happen. And I thank you for it, God. Father, I'm looking to those things. I'm looking to the visions. I'm looking to the revelation that you've shown, that you will fulfill your word and reveal your glory just as you said you would. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.